and gentlemen, boys and girls, I can't believe this is the first time we're doing this.
I cannot believe this is happening. This is like Christmas came early for Miss Natalie Roy.
Friends, just so you know who's joining us today.
Sit down.
Buckle
clutch
up.
Clutch your pearls.
Because it's happening now.
Because I am. I'm clutching mine.
Friends, who's here with us today is John DeBisi.
Ugh, all the ladies and men swoon.
Hi, ladies. Hi, beautiful ladies.
He is a...
And beautiful men.
He is a spiritual coach. He has a an amazing would you call it? It's not a podcast. It's like a.
It's also a podcast, but we have a YouTube series called The Ross Brunch.
Yeah, and his company is called Raw Sexy Spiritual, and he is so many things. I mean, for me, he's been my best friend slash husband for 20 years. And he is a producer, a musician, a corporate mega brain.
I always love it when you do my PR.
But he's also, can I just say,
please
he's
do.
So handsome. He's the most handsome man. So what happened is Kristen said to me at one point, you must meet my other best friend and my husband, John DeBisi. And literally when John and I met, I was like, oh, Kristen has what I hope is similar taste. Because I felt like John was kind of the male version of me, and I felt very flattered.
Oh, 100%. Like, it's actually strange to sit across from John and Natalie at the same time. Because the parallels are endless.
It's true.
We like a beautiful space.
True.
And a strong martini.
True.
And you guys...
And we love Kristen.
And
all
we
true.
Love Kristen.
And you both have great taste in clothes.
True.
And you always look gorgeous. And
true.
You have beautiful bodies.
True.
Oh, but the real reason I'm in love with you both is that you are both incredibly deep channels.
That is the truth.
You both open up and the universe comes out of your mouth.
That is actually one of the first things I remember about, you know, because I've known Kristen for several years. And when she said, you must meet John, you must meet John. And I heard about John for so long. And it was almost like the moment I met John, no words were even needed. Mm. I just felt so like whatever would come out of his mouth would be exactly what I needed in that moment. And I would trust and know it like I knew anything in the world, that what he was saying was so the truth, whether I was ready to hear it or not. So it is with the deepest gratitude on this Thanksgiving week that we welcome at long last to the Create Podcast, Mr. John DeBisi.
I'm so honored to be here. Thank you both. You are both not only best friends, but you are my spiritual gurus. I look to you all for when I got some bridge over trouble water. I'm looking to you too for some guidance. So thank you. I'm honored to be here.
What sometimes happens when the three of us get together is all of the lights will go out.
Oh, it's true.
So if for some reason this podcast stops suddenly, just know that it's because when the three of us get together, whether it's in Mykonos, Greece, or New York City, sometimes we have power outages.
Too much power.
Well, I would like to start this conversation talking about your spiritual journey and the way that you went from, as many of our listeners will understand, that when I first met you, you were an actor, right? And at some point, the universe in all its infinite glory started knocking.
Yeah.
So would you mind just talking us through that process in your life?
Well, I guess to give you the Cliff Notes version, because I don't know how long this podcast is, but we'll kind of condense it down. I think two things happened. My journey as an actor was rather short-lived, because what I had found was when I was on stage, I was living my most authentic self. It's where I felt safe to actually be who I really was. I didn't feel that safe in my life off stage. So the stage for me was that place where I could just be me. Once I understood the truth of who I was and I realized that I could be my most perfect, authentic self every day, every minute, and I started doing that, then for me personally, there was no more need to be on a stage or be an actor or have that outlet. But I always look back at some of my most amazing acting teachers, one in particular, Jimmy Whittle, who's no longer with us. And he really was a spiritual guide for me. He wasn't an acting teacher. He was a spiritual guide. Because all he ever talked about was being in the moment and telling the truth and living your most authentic self and not living with any kind of falseness or pretense in your life. And he used to have this amazing saying of, if you ever thought about something and you thought about doing something and you waited and you did it later, instead of it being an instinctual action, it became a good idea. And good ideas were never good ideas if they were outside of the moment. Only when you are moved in the moment to say something or do something or take an action is it divine, because it's happening right then and there. So he was definitely, I didn't know it at the time, but he was my, I think, my very first spiritual guru. And that's kind of how that transition happened. And then I just realized that I really like being the one with the power. So producing just came, you know, very naturally to me. And then one day, you know, I'd had a very successful career in corporate America, very thankful that I still do. And Kristen asked me one day, she's like, what is it that you do again? And I kind of told her, and she said, that sounds a lot like producing. I'm producing this theater show. You should come and produce it. And I said, I don't know anything about producing. She said, come on, you'll figure it out. And so that's how I started.
Yeah.
That's
and how I started John producing. Has produced shows that I've directed, and he produced a movie that I directed, and
he produced a short film that I wrote.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so tell us how your journey into the spiritual.
Again, I'll give you the abridged version. It was 2012. I was living in California at the time, and I was standing in my living room. I was recently divorced from the man that I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with, and I was making a lot of money and completely unhappy and not feeling fulfilled. And I was also in so much pain that I couldn't sit down for more than 5 minutes at a time. I developed stenosis of the C-spine. And I had just gotten back from the doctors, and the doctor said, you're going to need surgery. And the surgery is not going to cure you, but it's going to make you live with a little less pain. So I'm also going to need to put you on painkillers. And I was 32 years old at the time. And I just remember standing in my living room looking at my dog, and I was having this full-on conversation with my dog, which I do a lot of times because she's a very good listener. And I was saying to her, you know, this is going to be our life. This is what we're going to be about. And I was talking out loud about how life was going to change. And in the middle of it all, there was this huge booming voice in my body that just said, stop, enough, no more. And it was the very first time I ever fully heard spirit speak to me. And I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know what to do. And all I knew was to step forward in faith. And very shortly after that, I still don't know from where it might have been from you, it might not have. I'm looking at Kristen. Marianne Williamson's A Return to Love came into my hands, and I read it, which reignited a passion for A Course in Miracles, which I had started studying about 10 years before and had left because it just wasn't the time for it to kind of take root. From there, I delved back into A Course in Miracles. That led to everything from Eckhart Tolle to The Science of Mind to all kinds of spiritual teachers. And then the next thing I knew, I was studying with Marianne, and she was the one who told me, she looked in my eyes and said, you need to be teaching this to the LGBTQ community. And again, I had that moment of, how I do that, and putting one foot in front of the other. And here I am, however many years later, and I'm a life coach and a spiritual guide.
And you've also studied with Gabby Bernstein, mm-hmm. and basically had the same conversation
pretty
with
much
her.
Had the same conversation with her. Yeah.
You know, it's always interesting to me because we've been so best friends since we were 20 years old. And there was a time when I went on my spiritual journey where I didn't know if, like, you thought I had gone off the deep end. Right? Like, Kristen's gone all spiritual. Like, what's happening to her? And then I remember a moment, and then I was like, oh, when I was on my own path, and I was like, oh, John just jumped and he leaped, and now he's on his own path. And then watching how our friendship just got deeper and so exciting to open up to who we really are.
Yeah. Exactly.
It took on this whole new level.
It did. Well, we've talked about this before, and I say this a lot. God builds you an army. When you are at that place where you make the decision inside of yourself, whether you do it consciously or unconsciously, the universe instantly starts to shift and rearrange your life. And it starts to bring the people in that are exactly who are supposed to be there as a mirror for you. And one of the things that I loved about our friendship for so long is the universe has kept us on this parallel path where it puts us through the same things, but very, very closely in time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you started to speak in a more metaphysical, spiritual way, I never thought it was strange. It actually started to spark what was supposed to come up in me. And because you were doing it, I felt like it was okay. I felt like it was safe to do that. So I've always been grateful that you've been my spiritual running buddy for as long as, you know, we've been. But then, yeah, you're right, to introduce then that aspect, not just into our friendship, but then into our working relationship has been, it's the only way now that I want to produce. You know, I don't produce for money. I don't produce for, you know, for the fame of the project. I produce because of the people that are there. And because of, I feel like the project has the ability and the capacity to heal and to affect people in a way that is going to help them rise and become more aware.
You know, one of my favorite things that you say that happened in your trajectory of your spiritual journey is, I love this, is you say that the universe will empty you out before mm-hmm. it fills you back up. Can you talk about that for a second?
So that's a quote directly from the gorgeous Monique Coleman,
uh-huh.
who's a friend of ours and an amazing actress and advocate and UN ambassador.
And she's been on our podcast.
And she's been on your podcast. Mm-hmm. And she and I have done videos together. And it's been, you know, again, another one of those friendships that's been amazing. But it's true. When we make this commitment, we are filled. We are filled up with our old patterns, our own thoughts, our old ways of thinking that no longer serve us. And the thing is that oftentimes we look back on them and we say, oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. Or I wish I hadn't have thought that, or I wish I hadn't have said that. And I don't feel that way at all. I feel like everything that we've done was perfect for us in that moment. And everything that worked for us up until this moment, and this moment, and this moment was perfect. But it may not necessarily be what we need anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So when we make those commitments to ourselves to grow and to heal, when we finally say, I don't want my life to be like this anymore, or I feel like there's more, the universe is going to do its thing. Because we have made the commitment already, whether we've consciously realized it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are too filled with our old thoughts and our old patterns, and we can't see it, the universe is going to empty us out. Meaning, it's going to start to remove the things from our life that are no longer serving us, that we may not understand are no longer serving us. And that's exactly what it's done to me several times. But that moment, many years ago, you know, it was that time of, my relationship ended, my place of living ended, my job ended, my social world ended. And in the moment, it feels like my life is falling apart. And it really is just the universe emptying you out so it could fill you up with what you're now ready for, what is now at your capacity and your level.
Well, something that's interesting for me in knowing John and watching John go through all the hills and valleys in the last few years is you have this ability to cultivate kind of an interest and a curiosity in the process without knowing where the destination is or when you are going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen you do this financially, with relationships, with jobs, with spiritual practice. I've seen you apply this kind of way of being to everything in your life. And there have been times when I've looked at Kristen and said, John is the bravest guy I know. Like, if I was sitting in that level of not knowing, I would have to start making stuff happen because there's a way that it gets so insecure and upset to not kind of know where it's all going. So can you talk about what it is for you to be able to just be curious about the process and curious about the journey and not even in the arriving of it?
It's one of the most powerful spiritual principles that I've come to learn, but God, was it hard. I mean, it's a core principle of the course, and it basically says the how is none of our business. The how and the when are none of our business. And I fought that so much, because you guys know I am an A-type Virgo planner, and all of my life until I really started to go down this path was planned out to the minute. And if I didn't know, I used to play the if then else game. Well, if this happens, then I'll do this, else I'll do this. That's how I lived my life. So it was a huge shift for me, and it took a long time for me to finally surrender to it. But when I did, and it's hard, and you surrender. I always say we heal at the level of awareness that we're at in any given moment, but we also surrender at the level of awareness that we're at in any given moment. And sometimes, if that's just this much, I'm holding my fingers really close together for those of you who can't see it, that's okay. And that, because the miracle doesn't come from our perfectness, the miracle comes from our willingness. So just being willing, even just a little, opens the door for the miracle to start to come in.
The miracle does not come from our perfectness. The miracle comes from our willingness.
That's it. Yeah.
Wow. If you could see what happened, Natalie and I just shot our arms up into the air like we were in church. This is what happens when the three of us hang out.
This is what it feels like. This is what it feels like when you start to do it. And so I think the temptation a lot of times, and I know it was for me, was to do it perfectly. Because I was like, okay, if I'm going to be spiritual, then I'm going to be the most perfect spiritual person that there ever was, right? If I'm going to live these principles, then I need to live them perfectly. And that in itself is injecting fear and our own control back into it. So it's just a process of surrendering a little bit more every day. Now, like I said to you just a couple days ago, I ain't always happy about it, right? I'm not always happy about the fact that the how is none of my business and the when is none of my business. But after doing it for so many years and watching my life literally explode with abundance and joy and love when I did it, that's all the proof that I need. When I forget sometimes and I'm like, oh, this isn't quite happening as fast as I'd like it to. Maybe if I just... And then I remember, oh, look what the universe has done for you. Look at what it's done for you. But I'm also very honest about, I trust you, universe, but you're pissing me off right now.
Yes.
Like, you're pissing me off right now. And that's okay. The universe and I have tons of those conversations.
And thank you so much for airing that, because I do think that there's a certain level of, like, reverence and respect that sometimes people feel they need to have in order to get from the universe. It's almost like we think of the universe as like a parent. And if I'm a good enough child, then the universe will bestow upon me the cookie, the present, the money, the acting job, the whatever.
Yeah.
And I love that your relationship is just the authentic relationship of sometimes I'm mad. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't want to do it your way. Sometimes I'm so stubborn to do it my way. And all of that is actually part of the spiritual process, even an obstacle to it.
No, not at all. It's what we have to go through. Abraham Hicks talks about it all the time. She's like, the universe is just up there going, I know you're angry. Go ahead. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to be right here for you. I know you're going to doubt, and I know you're going to doubt again, and I know you're going to doubt again. And all it's doing is giving us constant love and constant unconditional joy and peace, and if we let it. So I'm never worried now about, oh, well, if I get mad, the universe isn't going to give me what... That's not the universe that I personally believe in. That's an old subscription of a higher power that I was raised with that didn't serve me for so long. The God that I believe in now, the universe that I believe in now, is like, tell me all about it. Tell me how angry you are. Tell me how frustrated you are. You know, it's okay. I'm still going to love you. There's nothing wrong. You're just going through what you need to go through right now to come out the other side.
One of my favorite things in our friendship is when you'll be like, girl, I can see my ego and it is doing things today.
Girl, ego.
And you'll say, okay, this is what ego's come up with today. Or this is how ego wants to,
it's so
like,
true.
Whisper small thoughts to me today.
You know when you get together with like girlfriends and you're all like, oh, that girl over there is saying this and doing that. That's what, when we get together, we talk about the ego, like the fourth gossipy girlfriend who's like the mean girl in our school. And we love to hate on her and be like, ugh, look what she's saying. Mm-hmm. Look what she's saying about what we're wearing.
Yes.
But it's always about the ego.
It is. It's always about the
and
ego.
And I would love for you to talk a little bit about your process of realizing you know, like, just for anyone who's listening to this who's never heard of, like, someone talking about the ego as their self, or and then how you started to develop that relationship of being able to watch the ego. Mm.
So my personal belief is that only love is real. No, everything else is an illusion. So whenever we are seeing or feeling something that is not love, it's because we have forgotten. Our perception has shifted back to kind of that illusion that we've been conditioned to believe our entire lives is the truth. Ego is the mechanism that is the representation of that fear, of that illusion. And it's really powerful because man, in the general term, I'm not being sexist, but humans have made this thing called ego in order to cope with what it is that's going on in their lives. So for me, the understanding is a little bit different than, you know, the traditional terms of having a big head or whatever we think ego is. So it's an interesting journey because in the beginning, I very much was, oh, fuck you, ego. Like, are we cursing on this?
All
thank
the
God. I was holding it in this entire time.
Do not hold that.
I was such a potty mouth. I was like, fuck you, ego. Like, you're not real and you don't exist and you're blah, 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 blah. And that's where I needed to be for a really long time because it was what I needed to do to kind of shift myself back into that place of you're not real. You are not actually real. You're not existing right now. I'm just believing that you're there because I really don't want to deal with this thing that's trying to come up for me to heal and I don't want to go through it. Mm. What I've come to learn over the course of this work, especially over the last year, is the ego isn't actually something to be hated or something to be villainized. The ego is still a part of us. And if something is a part of us, then we have to love it. Then we have to have compassion for it. Because the minute that we start to hold a piece of ourselves separate out of judgment or believing that it's not good enough, we create a shadow self. I know you guys have talked about shadow selves probably on this podcast. So when we have a shadow self and we're holding something separate from us, then that is stopping our ability to heal that thing. And the miracle comes from seeing that part of ourself that we've held separate and say, oh God, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so sorry that I've been judging you this whole time. Come here, you know, and loving that part of ourselves again is what makes us whole, or else we're just in pieces. We're just holding pieces of ourselves outside of ourselves. And we're not able to live from that, from as much of a whole place as we can live in any given day.
Well, and often I think sometimes actors have a little bit of a, again, in my opinion, a bit of a false sense of what it takes to be an actor. Sometimes there's this feeling of it takes keeping all those separate parts of myself to then put it into each character and put it into my work. So the sicker I am, the more messed up I am, the better my art. But I've always had the belief that the more clear and pure your channel, your offering is, then the more you can see the humanity in everything, not from a place of judgment. So you can relate to every human being on the planet when you're no longer fragmented.
It's true.
So I think that it's an interesting thing that there are the pieces of ourselves that we reject, or the pieces of ourselves we don't like, or the pieces of ourselves, whether it's our body, our voice, the way we think about something we've done in the past, where we want to have shame and guilt come up around those things. We want to judge those things. And we want to judge those things almost under the guise that if I judge and hate those things about myself, it'll make me never do them or be that again.
Right.
But it just creates more separation.
That's right.
And then we're keeping ourselves from our own wholeness.
Because that's the law. That's how the law of attraction works. Whatever we're thinking about is what we are calling in. Right. So even if you're thinking, there is no vibrational equivalent to the word no. The universe has no vibrational equivalent for that. If you're thinking about something, even in the intention of healing it or making it better or saying, I need to figure this out and I need to understand what it is and I need to go through, you're still putting your focus on that thing, right? I don't want to think about that thing anymore. What? That thing is what you're calling the attention to, which is what you're holding in your vibrational currency, which is what you're going to make more of. I always talk about that when I talk with clients about money. You know, it's applicable to everything. Whatever you want to see more of on the outside, you have to be having more of on the inside. So if you're constantly thinking about what's wrong or what you need to fix or what you need to heal, that's exactly what the universe is going to keep reflecting to you on the outside, because that's what you're... The universe just knows how to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
The universe isn't judging whether what you're doing is right or wrong or bad or good. There is no such thing with the universe. It's just saying, okay here, this is what you're thinking about. So it's just going to continue to give that to yourself, to give that to you over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
It is fascinating, though, taking the journey from being an actor to being a producer and being on the other side of the table, and you both know this, being a producer and a director, you see people walk into the room as actors, and they are completely not in their authentic bodies. They're not even present
mm-hmm.
as to where they are. They're so caught up in being or doing or trying to please
yes.
or get the role or whatever it is that they need to do, that they're completely gone. And so when someone walks in the room and they're just themselves and they just shine, it's the most glorious thing, because you're sitting there after hundreds of people came in, not who they really were, not in alignment, and then that one person walks in and you're like, oh, thank God.
Mm.
Oh, they've got it.
So casting becomes the easiest
mm-hmm.
job in the world.
It really is.
When you have so few people that are just really offering, I'm just here to play, I'm just here to be, I have nothing on this, it's just an experience that I'm excited to enjoy. There's so few people walking in with that energy that then, you know, it becomes easy to pick those few beautiful souls out.
It's true.
And that happens with art all the time, and I think that this is one of the things that you and I care about so deeply, is instead of trying to please others to get something from the outside world, how do you become the space where you're just expressing the art, the joy, the love, the abundance that already dwells within you to the thousandsfold, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That all you then become is this place that has all of this to give, and from that place you are overflowing, and that becomes radiant and magnetic. And so then it's very easy to find the things that are exactly the right match for you.
It's almost like, I feel like with John, I feel like every time you walk into the room, and I just know this about you, whether, you know, we're all on vacation
mm-hmm.
together and like John walks out of his room
mm-hmm.
and we're all going to go have a coffee together, there's something very assured and impeccable about John at all times,
mm-hmm.
right? And I assume the way you walk into a meeting, the way you walk in to get your coffee, you know, the way you walk into a big giant corporate job, the way you walk into coaching someone is all with that same energy of, you know, I don't even know what the word is. It's not a perfectionist at all. It's just this authentic impeccability. Like when they talk in the Four Agreements about be impeccable with your word. It's like, I feel like John DeVisi is someone who represents being impeccable with authenticity. And so it's no surprise to me that people want to pay you a lot of money to do those things, or you get hired for jobs to do those things, or your space is beautiful the way you're beautiful. And it's that energy of like attracts like. And so it's like, what is the version of that for all of us
mm-hmm.
to walk through the world at every single moment, whether you're walking into an audition or whether you're walking in to meet a friend, that there's an energy about you that does not change no matter what room you're walking into.
It's true.
On that note, I wanted to talk to you about becoming very clear and transparent with your communication.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know this is something that you stand for in business and in your relationships. When did that occur? And for you, for yourself, what is the rubric that you use to make sure that you are being authentic?
Mm. Well, to answer the first question, I think it happened in my personal relationships first, because I realized if every relationship that we have, no matter whether it's romantic or not, is a mirror showing us how well we love ourselves or how we can love ourselves better, the relationships that I kept having for a while were ones where the person that I was interacting with was not communicating to me in a way that I thought was honest or authentic or fully or full. So I had to look at myself and say, where am I not communicating fully? So it became very apparent to me in my personal life first where I was not communicating in my most authentic way. And for me, communication happens first energetically
mm-hmm.
and then verbally.
Mm-hmm.
So when you walk into a room, the energy that you carry in, right? Everything we do is infused with the energy with which we do it. So however you walk into a room, whatever your intention is, or walk into a meeting, or walk into an audition, what is your intention for that specific experience? If you haven't gotten clear on your intention, then your energy when you walk in the room is going to be unclear, because you are, right? If you don't know what you're there for, and more importantly, what you want to occur from that experience, then you're kind of just hanging out in the wind, you know, and you're really just going to get flung back and forth however it goes. So for me, it's very important, both personally and professionally, that before I walk into a room, I set a clear intention. And even if that intention is as simple as, I want to be a miracle to every single person that is sitting in that room, I want to be a reflection of as much joy or as much peace or as much abundance to them in that room, then that's all it needs to be. Mm-hmm. But if there's more that you're walking into that room for, if you're walking into that room for an audition, then what is your intention for that audition? And here's the thing. It's not about what you want to get. Mm-hmm. The question isn't, what do I need to do? The question is, who do I need to be? Right? It's not about what I want to get out of this situation. It's, how do I want to feel out of this situation?
Well, and that's so powerful, because one thing that you said that was just like one of the thousands of amazing things you said, it just went in passing so quick, but I was like, that in and of itself is like the deepest spiritual message that if any of us could really grasp onto. You said, when I was noticing a lack of communication or a lack of authenticity from someone else, you did not then blame that other person or say, what's wrong with you, or why are you not providing me what I needed? You instead said, where am I not being authentic with myself?
I did blame them. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. This really isn't about them.
But it does feel the same way in the audition process, for example, or in any kind of process, whether it's getting another job or the way you speak to your children. Are we walking into a room, or are we communicating because we want someone else to act a certain way to please us? Mm-hmm. Or are we walking in clear about what I'm bringing into the space, what I'm responsible for, what I'm bringing, and then whatever you do is totally up to you and has nothing to do with me?
That's right. Yeah. Because if you're walking into a room, and like I said, if you can't do anything else but have the intention of, I pray to be a blessing on every single person in this room today, what you put out is what you get back, mm-hmm. right? So if you're not concerned with, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? What am I going to get? And you're only concerned with, how do I be the most joyful, loving, happiest version of me? And how do I help other people do the same thing, which is actually my intention every day when I wake up? Mm. That's, the universe will take care of the rest. The universe will absolutely take care of the rest. And what you're going to get coming back to you is so much better than what you could have even have hoped for in the beginning. Because we're so limited to what we think we are capable of. We're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. We are too big for these bodies, as this brilliant woman once said to me. Because I said to you one day, I was like, I don't know, Kristen. I'm feeling like not comfortable in my body, and I'm just feeling like I'm all like caught up and trapped. And you're like, well, your spirit's 50 million times bigger than your body anyway, so of course you're feeling like you don't fit, right? It's just your spirit. It's just you trying. It's you becoming more of who you are. If we're spiritual beings having a human experience, then the minute we try and imagine or think about what something could be, we are instantly limiting it down to something a millionth of the size of what the universe has in store for us. So we can get to a place where we remember, okay, this is, because it's great to know what your purpose is. It's great to know if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt in the core of who you are, that you are put on this planet to be the best actress and to have your work help heal millions and millions of people, fantastic. But how you do that and when that happens is what we have to turn over, and is what we have to say, okay, I'm going to step into every meeting with that intention of bringing that much joy and love into every room that I go into, and trust that the universe is going to give me shit that I couldn't have even possibly imagined.
And I know that we've both seen John do this, of turning down a job that looks amazing and lucrative because it wasn't just perfectly in alignment with who you are. And then even if it took some time, some months, some long soul searching, the thing that was 10 times more in alignment, 10 times more lucrative, always comes in if you just have the faith to really take a stand for what you know you are here for.
And thank you both for, in those months in between, reminding me of everything that I say and everything that I teach, because we all need that. We all need our soul tribe around us to be like, honey, we've got you, you know? We've got you. This is what's really going on here. This isn't ever about one person. It's about everybody doing this work, you know? And you guys have been that for me countless, countless times.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, because we just taught a forgiveness class. And we pulled a lot of
subject.
We pulled a lot of Colin Tipping, which I know that you have studied quite a great deal. And I would love for you to talk a little bit about forgiveness in your spiritual growth. And then what, like, especially with the work of Colin Tipping, how you've integrated that into your life and into your coaching.
Forgiveness was hard for me. I was raised, and as I think many of us are, you know, we're conditioned to believe very specific things. And we are conditioned to have expectations of every relationship that is labeled in our life. And so I was conditioned over the course of my life to believe that forgiveness is something that needs to be earned by someone, that they have to clearly show that they are sorry and that they have remorse. And that they need to do, I don't even know how you measure it. I was never told how to measure it, but they need to do stuff to show you how sorry they are. And then once they've shown you that, then you can forgive them. And so for me, forgiveness was always about some other person. It was always about bestowing something onto someone else that I judged as to whether or not they deserved. And just saying it feels so icky right now. But it's really, really what I believed, because and it's not just what I was told, it's what I was shown. So when I was growing up, that's what I was shown forgiveness was. By when I would do something wrong, people wouldn't forgive me until I did enough things to make them feel like I deserved it. The best version of forgiveness I ever heard was re-quoted by Oprah, although she's not the one who originally said it. It was said on her show, which is giving up the hope that the past could have been any different. And that struck me so deeply, because that's really, when we are choosing not to forgive someone, it's because we're holding on to a version of something that we thought should have been different. And that we are so certain of, no, you should have done this, or the fact that you did this wronged me or hurt me, and we won't give it up. We won't let it go. And what I've come to learn very begrudgingly over the course of, I think I read one book once. God, I don't remember what it was, but I read something about forgiveness, and I closed the book and I threw it across the room. It made me so angry. But it was something along those lines of, forgiveness isn't actually about the other person. Forgiveness is our choice whether we are going to continue to sit in a torturous energy or if we're simply going to let it go. Because we've all heard the saying of, it's useless holding a grudge because half the people you're angry at don't know and the other half don't care. But it's true. If according to Colin Tipping and the Course, if everyone that's come into our life is supposed to be there to show us something very specifically that we signed up for to heal from, then they are just doing the thing that we contracted with them before we all incarnated here. I'm getting a little woo-woo, folks, that we incarnated here to do. So if that guy, that relationship that I spent years being so angry over and brokenhearted over because I felt like he'd done me wrong, if the truth of the matter is that, oh, he only did what we contracted that he would do for me and that I would do for him, then there really is actually nothing for me to forgive. There's only actually something for me to be thankful for, because he fulfilled his part of the contract. And it hurt my brain for a while, because I couldn't quite get past that ego thinking of, well, why would I ever ask for someone to do that? why would I ever ask for someone to come into my life and hurt me like that? And what it comes down to, what I started to understand was, when you made those contracts, the person who hurt you the most, you actually contracted with someone who loved you the most, because they were willing to do that for you in this lifetime, to show you that thing that you can look at and say, that's my shit that I need to heal from, mm-hmm. that I need to do differently now going forward. So it kind of takes the entire idea of having to forgive someone out of the equation. And when you can release that energy, you actually feel an incredible amount of peace, because you're the only one suffering. Mm-hmm. By not forgiving someone, you're the only one suffering. They're not suffering. We're not that powerful, folks. We have all of the power to change our own lives and to manifest everything that we want for ourselves. We do not have the power to manifest anything for anyone else. Mm-hmm. So you can sit there and go, I'm not going to forgive you, and I hope your life is shit, and I hope karma's a bitch, and I hope that you get what you've been, you know, all of those things. I'm not that powerful. Once I realized I don't have that power, but I do have the power to free myself, that's what forgiveness became for me.
Mm. Mm. I know my teacher, Christy Marsden, describes forgiveness as to give like before.
Mm.
So before whatever hurt happened, before whatever thing we had between us, how can I give to myself mm-hmm. and to you the same level of love as before that incident?
That's right.
And I love that you talked about sort of we incarnated to go through this healing. And when people say, well, why would I have ever chosen that? But you know the feeling when you're like with your best friend on a vacation and you're the happiest you've ever been. And then you're like, oh, I'll totally climb Mount Everest. I'll totally have that conversation with my boss. I'll totally take the leap. I'll totally move into that new apartment. Like mm-hmm. all the things that in your normal day-to-day really scare you, if you're in a really heightened place of ease and joy and excitement about life, all of a sudden we get braver. So think about before we had this human form and all we were was spirit. And all spirit or Purusha is this ball of light that is just love and expression and truth and joy and beauty. Of course, in that form, we're like, I can handle everything. Give me this hardship. Give me this bankruptcy. Give me this bad partner. And it's almost like I feel like the universe in its love for us is like, oh, I trust you can learn the lesson with just the broken leg and not, you know, the whole broken body.
True.
Right? Because I think that when we're in such a good place, we just think we can handle it. And then we incarnate into these bodies and realize, oh, we're so vulnerable and we're so sensitive and everything hurts so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's so powerful to take on the perspective of we chose it.
We chose it. And it's hard, right? It's hard to believe that sometimes. It's hard to think about natural disasters or car accidents or people, you know, losing their lives. And did we really choose that, right? All of those awful things that happen in life. You know, Colin Tipping is, you know, he has an entire method on this. You know, it's called radical forgiveness for a reason. It's a radical idea to us living in this space of fear and limit that we've been living in all of our lives. It is a radical idea, but it's something that, you know, when you really start to live with it and understand the peace again that comes from it is unbelievable. Now, there is the line of, doesn't mean you're a doormat for people, right? There is having moral and ethical boundaries, because you can still forgive someone. And the healthiest, most spiritual, most divine thing that you could do is walk away from that person. And sometimes that's just as appropriate. But it doesn't mean that you stop holding a place of love for them in whatever capacity you can. And it certainly doesn't mean that you wish them harm. Because again, that's only going, where what we put out comes back to us, right? So if you're wishing someone else harm, that was the thing that I had such a slap my head on my hand day with that. I was like, I'm wishing this person harm. And if I really believe that everything that I put out comes back to me, then what am I doing?
Yes.
I'm wishing myself harm. Why would I
do
that?
That's right. We're all the same person having different experiences.
And then when I let go of it, the amount of time I had in my day freed up that I wasn't wishing that person harm or thinking about them or like thinking about how they'd done me wrong, I was open to experience all of the amazing stuff that the universe was trying to give me,
yes,
right?
That's right. See, that, and that's one of the ways that there's always so many incredible things that are trying to come into our lives.
Always.
And we're just blind to it.
Always.
We're so focused somewhere else, we can't even let it in.
No.
Okay, so question for you. If someone wanted to come coach with you, how do they find you?
JohnDeVisi.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a quick idea as to how I coach, what my method is, and all of that. And then shoot me a message through my website and I'll get in touch with you and give you more information.
And if someone's listening and they're like, I'm in love with this person, I need them in my life, what is this Ross Brunch thing? How can I hear you teach?
Yeah, so the Ross Brunch is something that I do specifically to bring more mindfulness and awareness to gay men in the LGBTQ community. I do it with my teaching partner, who's a psychologist, Dr. Tony Ortega. You can find us on YouTube. Just search for the Ross Brunch or search for Ross Sexy Spiritual, and you can find our stuff there. We put a video out almost every week. We're also a podcast, so however you want to consume us, we're here for you.
And what kind of stuff do you guys talk about?
We talk about anything and everything that gay men deal with in their daily lives. So everything from, you know, sex to drugs to dating to, we just did an episode on an androgyny. We did an episode on fantasy role play. We do episodes on everything. It's just really taking topics that gay men deal with and they sometimes don't have anyone to talk to them about.
Yeah.
In a really honest way. And we're kind of really raw about it. I'm a life coach. He's a therapist. So it's not about encouraging bad behavior. It is something about how do you look at what you're doing and figure out what you're doing that is stopping you from living your best life possible. But I really do the show, if I'm being completely honest. You know, I'm very blessed I get to live in New York City right now. And I go back and forth between New York and LA. Two very open liberal cities where for the most part, and it's not perfect, but for the most part, you can walk down the street wearing what you want, holding hands with who you want.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of the time, you have no problems. I do this show for the kid in middle America who's hiding under his bed covers because he can't be out and he can't be who he really is. And he has no one to listen to or to go to or to have these conversations with. And the only resources out there that young gay kids really have in these places are chat rooms and porn and things that aren't necessarily going to lead them to the healthiest lifestyle. And I just remember growing up being that kid hiding under my blanket, really wanting to talk to someone about being gay and having no one. And so I do this show so that, you know, that kid can listen and hear two openly proud gay men talk about these issues in a really healthy, aware way, and hopefully give them tools to live their lives in as much of an open, safe way as they possibly can, wherever they are.
Mm. Gorgeous. You are incredible.
You guys are incredible.
Thank you for being our best friend.
Thank you for being my best friend. Thank you for inviting me onto the show.
All of our viewers are like going to be obsessed with this podcast, and I just feel so grateful that basically every time we get together, we get to do this.
We get to
hear you and your beautiful perspective on life and spirituality, and the way you walk your talk is so powerful and such an honor to have you on our podcast.
I couldn't do it without you too. Thank you. Thank you for having me be here.
So check out JohnDeVisi.com for all the juicy details. And if nothing else, please just go look at his photos to have a delight for your eyes.
He's so gorgeous.
He's so gorgeous. You can't even handle it.
It's taste
alone. Kristen has a type.
Listen, I love beautiful. I can't help myself.
That's right.
If you loved this podcast, please share it with a friend. And specifically for this episode, if you have a friend in the LGBTQ community who you think would really benefit from hearing John speak, or you would direct them to the Ross Brunch or Raw Sexy Spiritual, please do that, because really John is doing really life-changing work over there. So please share this, or share this with a friend, or share it with your mom. Who knows?
Share with everybody.
Everyone can
create
benefit.
Rocks.
Create rocks. John is sometimes a special guest teacher at Create, so stand by for more.
And
of those.
Fun fact, I was in their very first incarnation of
That's
the Create
right.
workshops.
So true. The very first Create workshop we ever had was six people.
Mm-hmm.
John DeVisi was one of those people.
Yeah. It was an honor.
So So thank you for listening today. If you want more of us, you can check out our new website, www.thecreateseries.com. We have a free download for you available there if you want to join our mailing list. And we also have a video series that we've just launched that we're really excited about. So if you're interested in that, you can find all those details there.
And thank you for being on this amazing ride with us. We every day are so grateful and so thankful that you are brave enough to say, who am I? What is the truth of my soul? And how do I live more authentically? So thank you. As we get to sit here, all partners together, all best friends together, knowing that you're on the other side listening and that you are a partner in this and that you are also our best friend. If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!